You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
I'm going to read from Luke 24, 13 to 35, the road to Emmaus. Now that very same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking together about all that had happened. And it happened that as they were talking together and discussing it, Jesus himself came up and walked by their side, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are all these things that you're discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. Then one of them, called Cleopas, answered him, "You must be the only person staying in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have been happening there these last few days." He asked, "What things?" They answered, "All about Jesus of Nazareth, who showed himself a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and the whole people, and how our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death and had him crucified. Our own hope had been that he would be the one to set Israel free. And that's not all. 2 days have now gone by since it all happened, and some women from our group have astounded us. They went to the tomb in the early morning, and when they could not find the body, they came back to tell us they had seen a vision of angels who declared he was alive. Some of our friends went to the tomb and found everything exactly as the women had reported, but of him they saw nothing." Then he said to them, "You foolish men, so slow to believe all that the prophets have said. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer before entering into his glory? Then starting with Moses and going through all the prophets, he explained to them the passage throughout the scriptures that were about himself. When they drew near to the village to which they were going, he made as if to go on, but they pressed him to stay with them, saying, 'It's nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. Now while he was with them at the table, he took the bread and said the blessing. Then he broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished out of their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' They set out that instant and returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 assembled together with their companions, who said to them, 'The Lord has indeed risen and appeared to Simon.' Then they told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized him at the breaking of the bread." This is the word of God.
Is it really you? Smiling like a baby full of dreams. Smiling ain't so easy now. Some are coming true. Nothing simple as it seems. But I guess you count your blessings with the problems dealing with today, like the changing of the seasons. Ain't you come a long way?
Ain't you come a long way?
Ain't you come a long way down this old road? Looking at a looking glass,
the face you used to know. Traces of a future lost in between the lines. One more rainbow for the road. Thinking of the faces in the window that you passed along the way. Oh, the last thing you believed in. Ain't you come a long way?
Ain't you come a long way?
Ain't you come a long way down this old down. And you let him slip away. And the holy night is falling. Ain't you come a long way?
Ain't you come a long way?
Ain't you come a long way down this old road? Look at that old photograph. Is it really you?
I've been looking at some of the stories of Jesus appearing to his friends after the resurrection. And we talked first about Jesus' appearance to Mary in the garden. And then we talked about Jesus appearing to the disciples in the locked, behind locked doors, and of Thomas. And all of these stories so far have come from the Gospel of John. But this morning we turn to Luke's Gospel. And in Luke 24, we have the story of the resurrection. And in the story it says that that the women that were there at the crucifixion, it says, on the third day, on Sunday morning, they went to the tomb with spices, and they were preparing to anoint the body. But when they get there, the tomb is empty, and there are two men that are there, and they're wearing dazzling apparel. And they tell the women, he's not here. He's alive. And so they run back, and they tell the disciples. But the scripture says that to the disciples, it sounded like an idle tale. That's what it says, that the women's story sounded like an idle tale. And so there's this story that follows it about these two disciples that Kim read for us as they're walking down this old road to Emmaus. And sure, you know, they had heard the women's stories, but remember, idle tales, wives' tales maybe. It just seemed too far-fetched. I mean, it just seemed too out there. So they're headed back to Emmaus, and we imagine maybe they're headed back to fishing nets, headed back to tax offices and missed appointments and the merciful routine of their lives. And maybe it was like the song that we just sang, that Daniel and I did. Maybe it was like that. Look at that old photograph. Is it really you? Smiling like a baby full of dreams, but smiling ain't so easy now. Some are coming true, but nothing's as simple as it seems. You see, these guys had dreams, right? They had dreams. They left everything, we imagine, to follow this rabbi. That's with all the disciples. They left everything. They left parents and friends and family members and neighbors. And maybe their family and friends had warned them. Maybe they had said, guys, whoa, come on. You know, don't jump into this thing too fast, right? Just hold on. You know, don't be rash. Think it through. You got to be reasonable. You don't know who this guy is. You don't know about this Jesus, his credentials. What proof do you have that he's telling the truth? But they had been naive. They had been trusting. They had been so ready to believe. And there was something about this guy, something that was special. And maybe they couldn't put their finger on it, but, you know, his words had the ring of truth. His teaching, it had authority. His very breath had the sweet scent of grace. His presence overwhelmed you with love. So they left everything. They left everything to follow him. They followed him into cities. They followed him into towns. You imagine that the dust of the ground was coating their feet and their sandals and their clothes. This road that they had walked time and time again. They saw this Jesus cast out demons. They saw the lame walk. They saw the blind see. They saw the deaf hear, the mute speak. They heard this Jesus speak of a kingdom that was being birthed right there in their midst. He talked about a kingdom where things are upside down. A kingdom where the poor are the blessed ones. Those who mourn, the meek, the hungry, the merciful, the pure, the peacemakers, the persecuted, those are the blessed ones in this kingdom. And as they journeyed with this rabbi, I am sure that the conversation among the disciples had to take place. I think he's the one. I think he's the one. He's the one we've been waiting for. And so the moment comes, you know, they're saying, God is being faithful. God is being faithful to this promise. Just as Moses led our people out of Egypt, he's come again. He's come again. Our deliverer is here. The true king of Israel, the throne of David will be reestablished, and the true king will sit on it. Yes, we will leave everything to follow this man. Now, in all fairness, Jesus tried to warn them. He tried to warn them. And as they journeyed along that road together in ministry, he tried to prepare them for what was to come. Luke records it in his gospel. He writes, "While they were marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men.' But they did not understand this saying, and it was concealed from them so that they might not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying." And a few chapters later, it says again in chapter 18, it says, "Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that has been written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles, will be mocked, shamefully treated, spit upon, and after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise.' But the disciples understood none of these things." You know, he tried to warn them, but they didn't get it. And so now the disciples are here along this road, and they're walking again. But there's a big difference now. There's no deliverer leading the way of the people. There's one who is conspicuously absent from the traveling party in their mind. And I wonder, kind of like the song said, if they were to look into the mirror, if they would see traces of a future lost in the lines on their face. I wonder if, as they traveled along, if they were thinking about the faces in the window that they had passed time and time again. They were thinking about the last thing that they really believed in and how it was gone. They had bet everything on the wrong horse. They lost it all in their minds, right? The plot of the story that Jesus had been weaving and the whole plot of the story that they had understood, it just comes to this grinding halt at the cross. Because how can a deliverer deliver when he's dead? And you can't deliver a whole people if you can't even deliver yourself, right? Jesus had rebuked the religious leaders to their face. He wasn't afraid of them in his ministry. But Why had he said nothing at the trial? Why did he just stand there and take it? Undeserved. It just didn't make sense. And about this time in their journey, a stranger comes up and joins them. He says, what you guys talking about? They said, what you talking about? Are you the only idiot who's been sleepwalking through the past weekend? Are you the only crazy, deaf, blind, deaf, antisocial hermit who doesn't have any idea what's been going on in this city? Are you the only wandering stranger who missed the circus? It's been here. And he says, what circus? What are you guys talking about? And they went on to tell him about the past week in Jerusalem. They went on to tell him about this prophet who was mighty in deed and mighty in word. And it was this prophet that they had placed their hopes in that he was going to deliver them. But instead of delivering, he was delivered up to Pilate, who crucified him. They told the stranger about the women who had gone to the tomb and about the vision of angels. They're saying, friend, how could you miss it? Where were you? And as Jesus had probably done with the disciples along the road countless times before, he does it again. He says, guys, foolish guys here, you're missing the point. And Jesus starts a little Bible study as they're walking along the road. He walks them through the scripture much like a seasoned guide on a nature trail, or much like an expert walking you through an art gallery. He says, look at this tree here. Look at this plant, this flower, this seed. Look at this event. Look at this prophecy. Look at this song. Look at this promise that God has made. Look at how they're connected. Look at how they're interwoven. There's a rich tapestry that God is creating here. Do you see it? Look at the details, the brushstrokes, the technique, the colors, the faces. You see the little unnoticed gems in the background. And as they walked along with this Jesus showing them, this guide, walking them through Scripture, they see Scripture in a new way, and they see God's story in a new way. And their hearts burned within them, is what it says. Their hearts burned. And when they get to the village, they offer this stranger a simple hospitality. Just stay with us. Why don't you stay with us? Don't go on. Stay with us. And as it often happens in Luke, the guest becomes the host. The guest becomes the host because they invite Jesus in as the guest, and then he begins to serve them as though he were the host at the meal. It was just as he had done when he fed the 5,000. They brought him bread and fish, and it says he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it. He distributed it out to the people. It's the same thing he had done just a few days before at the Last Supper. It says, as the disciples were gathered around the table, it says, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. And once again, it says here, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to the disciples. And their eyes were open. They saw it. But no sooner had they seen and recognized Jesus, he was gone. He disappeared. He was gone. Molly Marshall makes a great insight about this passage when she writes, she says, faith does not require visible proof, although memory can provide hope. Because Christ vanished out of their sight as an indication that visible apprehension could not sustain enduring faith. Holy presence would remain, but not in the form they had known. They're saying, look, just seeing with your eyes is not enough for faith. It's not enough. What did Jesus say to Thomas last week? He said, blessed are they who have not seen, but still believe. Now, I imagine that the return trip to Jerusalem from Emmaus did not take nearly as long as the one from Jerusalem to Emmaus. 7 miles. I have a feeling that instead of kind of trudging along, they kind of felt like there were wings on their feet, running back to Jerusalem, hurrying back to tell others the good news. We've seen Jesus. We've seen Jesus. But we have to ask ourselves this morning, so what, right? So what? Is this more than just, you know, another story about Jesus' resurrection? But Is that it, or is there more? Is there something specific that it has to teach us today? And three things that I just want to suggest this morning. The first is this. This story is hopelessly ordinary. Hopelessly ordinary, in my opinion. Who are these disciples? We only get one of their names, Cleopas, but he's not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. We don't even have the other guy's name. They were not part of, you know, the Big 12. They were not in the inner circle. They were you and me. And even though the Scripture says that they were on a road that led to Emmaus, it could have been anywhere, right? The road to Emmaus is the same road that you and I travel each and every day. It's the road to work. It's the road to the grocery store. It's the road to get gas. It's the road to take the kids to school. It's the road to the ball field. It's ordinary. And the opportunity to see Christ, the opportunity to encounter Christ, comes after simple, ordinary hospitality. Are you hungry? You thirsty? Tired? Let's go get something to eat together. Why don't you come in to my house for a little while? Put your feet up. Sit down on the couch. Take your load off. Mi casa es su casa. Right? It's just the ordinary. And Christ is recognized by the disciples in the simple, ordinary act of breaking bread. Could you pass me a roll, please? And there he is. It's hopelessly ordinary. And it's a good reminder for us, those of us that want neon signs. How many times have we all said it? You know, if God wants to speak to me, he's going to have to hit me over the head by a 2x4, right? How many times have we said that? This is a story that says, you know, don't look for the writing in the sky. Christ is present in the everyday. He's present in the ordinary. He's present at all times. And he comes to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. And the second thing is this. Did you notice their reaction to the Scriptures? It says their hearts burned within them. Do you yearn for God like that? Do I yearn for God like that? Does our heart burn within us after we gather together for worship? Does it burn within us after we have studied His Word and heard it proclaimed? How much of our fellowship is social? You know, something we know we should do, should come to church and spend some time with people. How many of us can really say like the prophet Jeremiah, who said, "Your word is like a fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of keeping it in." How many of us can say that? Finally, the third thing is this. Are we any different because of our encounter with Jesus? Are we any different? What was the last line of that song? It said, "Look at that old photograph. Is it really you?" Let me encourage you this morning. Look back on the photograph of your life. Have you been so completely transformed by the ongoing work of Jesus in your life that you almost can't even recognize the person you were? Couldn't that be said of you? And if not, why not? Why not? Why not me? Because the truth, I believe, of this Scripture is this. Christ wants to reveal himself to you. Christ wants his word to burn in you like a holy fire. And Christ wants to transform you a little each and every day, more and more into his image. So here's your question. Will you see him today? Will you feel him burning within you? Will you let him change you? Let's pray together. Jesus, as you revealed yourself to the disciples on the ordinary road to Emmaus, we ask that you would come to us today. We pray that you would let your word burn in us like a fire. Ignite our hearts, we pray, setting them ablaze with passion for you. Help us to see you in the ordinariness of our lives, to welcome you when we welcome the stranger among us, to see you in the breaking of the bread, to hear you testify again and again through your scripture. Lord, we commit ourselves this morning to walk this road that we are on with purpose. We don't want to wander just with the direction of the wind, but we want to walk this journey and this path with you. We want to look along the way for evidence that you are leaving. We want to look for the breadcrumbs you've left us to follow. We want to look for your very presence that accompanies our steps. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Give us courage to respond. Give us your holy fire within our heart. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, the invitation is this. Are you living on purpose? Are you living on purpose? Are you just wandering? I think the disciples started out wandering. They were wandering back home, wandering back to their old way of life. And when Jesus appeared to them, he gave them direction. He gave them purpose. He gave them passion and meaning and excitement. Are you living with purpose this morning? Are you experiencing God in the ordinary, everyday parts of your life? Are you sharing your faith with others that come along the path? Are you offering hospitality when you find Jesus coming to you in the form of a stranger? Are you building true community? That's one of the things that we are about with these formation groups, is about recognizing God in the ordinary. Are you a part of one of those? Commit to that today. Maybe none of those really strike you today, and you say, my journey today is to just begin this walk with Jesus. So today may be the day to make that first step. Say, I want to get on the road in the right direction. Do that. The Spirit is calling this morning. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, I'm going to be standing in the back. But the band's going to play, and they're going to play a hymn that you know, and we just want to invite you to sing along with it. Words are, I come to the garden alone. And then the chorus is, he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. That's what Jesus is telling you today. So, as the Spirit leads, would you come as we respond to God and his word?